So what I want to do today is, first of all, we'll go through a review of what we discussed the last time when we talked about the wise controlling his tongue. Then we'll talk about sins of the tongue, then consequences of those sins, and then we would apply God's word. Well, first of all, as we review the wise controls his words, there are many, many proverbs that talked about the importance of our words, and we looked at that. We saw that our words can have an effect on others. When we speak, those words could heal, or those words could hurt. Our words could encourage and build up, or they could discourage and tear down. They could bring peace and calm, and we can persuade, or they could bring anger, could bring strife, could bring resistance. But not only do we see that our words can have an effect on others, we also saw that our words can have an effect on ourselves. Our words can help us to avoid trouble. Our words can help us to persevere. Or our words can get us into trouble and cause ruin. And then we saw the power of the tongue. Our words can spread knowledge. Our words could also pour forth foolishness. We saw that our words can impact the body and soul. They can bring life and death. And then we looked at some principles for the use of our tongue. We saw that there is a time to speak and a time to remain silent. We also saw that we really need to think before we speak. And we really should be wise with the selection of our words. What words do we use? And also the timing. When do we speak them? And above all, we need to seek wisdom before we speak. But also, as we were talking about all of these principles, we said that the wise needs to restrain his words, because in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. And at that time, we said we'd come back to that topic, the sins of the tongue. The sins of the tongue. If you look in the Proverbs, there's more than 20 Proverbs that deal with this subject. Words like lying, lies, the liar, the false witness, but also things like slander, the whisperer, the talebearer, one that sows discord, and flattery. These are sins of the tongue. Well, let's take a look at some of these and what the Proverbs have to say about them. First, let's look at lying. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22. Now, we're going to be going through a lot of Proverbs, over 20 of them. So I tried to put all of these up on the screen. So feel free to join me and go through them in your Bible, or else you can also just see them up on the board. So Proverbs 12, 22 says, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight." You might remember, as we've been going through Proverbs, we see that there are contrasts, right? We see the contrast here between lying lips and also those who act faithfully. In some translations, it's those who deal truthfully. So we have a contrast between lies and truth. Well, lies. I think we all know what lies are, but just to remind us, the Hebrew word is often used for words like false, to cheat, to lie, to deceive, to break a covenant, to act falsely, to be untrue. Many times, and in many cases, it describes a way of life. It describes someone's character as a character of someone who lies. Now, the contrast here is you see this person, he has lying lips. It's contrasted, but those who act faithfully. It's contrasted to a person whose character is one where they act faithfully. It's their pattern, it's their habit, it's their nature to tell the truth, to be accurate, to be correct. So this is a contrast. Well, how does God look upon this? You see here, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. I looked up the word abomination. Abomination, it's morally disgusting. Think about that. We all think of things that are disgusting, yeah? I mean, you could probably think of something right now. I think of certain things, they're disgusting, and when I think of something that's disgusting, what do? I'm repulsed by it. I want to turn away from it. Well, for God, when we speak lies, it is an abomination to Him. It's morally disgusting to Him. He sees that in our lives, and is morally disgusting. He wants to turn away from it. He's repulsed by that, as our character and lifestyle of lying is repulsive and morally disgusting to God. But the contrast is that when He sees someone who acts faithfully, sees someone who is truthful, that is their character to be truthful, it brings Him delight. Well, why is that? Well, truth is an attribute of God. It is His character to be truthful. And so when He sees that in someone else, sees their character to be one of being truthful, it brings Him delight. So also we see Proverbs on the liar. Here we have Proverbs 17, verse 4. An evil doer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. When you think of an evil doer, what comes to mind? A murderer. Maybe a rapist. Someone that commits a violent crime. But do you consider a liar an evil doer? Well, here, instead of a contrast, we see here it's an and. We see that it is an evildoer and a liar. There is a link, a comparison to the two of them. We see a similarity also between an evildoer and what does he do? He listens to wicked lips. And a liar, he gives ear to a mischievous tongue. In both cases, the evildoer and the liar listen. They give ear. They listen to a mischievous tongue. We need to remember that listening ears share responsibility with a lying tongue. Charles Bridges says, if there were not as many willing listening ears, there would be fewer encouragements to those that lie and spread lies. So we need to be careful, not only with what we say, but also with what we listen to. Well, let's get into another proverb. You find many of these. The false witness. Here's two. Proverbs 14:5. A faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness breathes lies, breathes out lies. And then Proverbs 12:17. Whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness utters deceit. So again, we have contrast. Right? Contrast between a faithful witness and a false witness. Well, what's a witness? Who's a witness? A witness is someone that gives testimony. He conveys an account of an event as someone that has direct knowledge and information as to what occurred. So when we're asked to give our witness, to give an account of an event, we have a decision to make. What will we say? Will we speak the truth? Or will we lie? Well, if we're a faithful, truthful witness, we will not lie. We do not lie. We will give honest evidence. When we're called to be a witness, we will give honest evidence. We will seek to accurately and correctly give an account of what happened, to give the facts. Of course, this is contrasted to the false witness. What does he do? He breathes out lies. It's interesting. It just comes natural. It just breathes. It's like his breath comes out of him. It's just the way lies come out of a false witness. This lying might be open lying. It might also be done by misrepresenting or concealing the truth or facts. His intent is to deceive. So we have the contrast there. Okay, so another proverb. As I said, there are many. Here's one that's a little subtler. The slanderer, the talebearer, the whisperer. Proverbs 10:18 says, he that hides hatred with lying lips, and he that slanders is a fool. In this proverb, again, we see a linkage, right? A linkage between those with lying lips and the slanderer, suggesting that there is a comparison to both. They have similarities. Well, what is slander? When you think of slander, if you look up the definition, it's making a false and damaging statement about someone. It typically damages their reputation. Why would we slander? Why would anybody slander? It's not for our neighbor's good, but oftentimes, more likely the reason is that we want them to look bad, perhaps so that we might look good. That could be the issue. And sadly, sometimes it's just because we like to speak. We just talk and talk and talk. We have to be careful with what we say. Is what we say putting our neighbor in an unfavorable light? Sometimes we'll just assert a mere suspicion. You know, I think I heard. Maybe this, maybe that. It's not facts, it's just maybes. And a lot of times that, again, is to raise our name upon the ruin of their reputation. Why did we do that? Well, I think, again, this linkage helps us. You know, the lying lips, they hide hatred. At the end of the day, when we're slandering someone, there's no love of our neighbor there. I mean, really, that's hate. Interesting, and you look at this, as I was looking at a lot of these Proverbs, many of the commentators are speaking about Proverbs from the King James Version. So you see oftentimes another translation used. The word that they use sometimes is a talebearer. So instead of a slanderer, you might see the word talebearer. Someone that is a peddler of gossip. A talebearer picks up an ill-natured story here, a tale, and he bears it, and he carries it over here, and he conveys it to someone else. He tells them the story from house to house, oftentimes slandering the neighbor. Again, these are linked. And what do they say both of them are? Both are fools. We might think when we hide lying lips, no one will know it. We might think when we whisper and slander over here, no one will know it. But understand this, God sees it. God knows this, and He sees that sin, and He will hold both the liar and the slanderer accountable. Well, here's another one. Flattery. Okay? Proverbs 29:5, a man that flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. Beware the flatterer. Unwary souls are misled. You know, I like to hear good reports about myself. I think everybody does, right? Isn't that a weakness, perhaps? You know, we want to say good things about people, but it's important that we must be honest and truthful in what we say. The flatterer can set a trap that will harm his neighbor. Now, sometimes this might be intentional, right? The flatterer may have an ill design about the flattery that he is saying. They're praising someone in the hopes to be able to take advantage of them later. In Proverbs, many times we see the reference to the flattering woman who uses her smooth words, her flattery, to turn aside the simple young man, to entice him and to lead him into sin. So sometimes it's intentional, but sometimes it's not intentional. We're just trying to be nice. But we got to be careful. Unmerited praise could lead to pride. And so we have to be careful with flattery. The sins of the tongue. Well, next, the consequences. Do you remember our prudent man? If you were here over the years, over the months and months, you've seen our prudent man, right? So our prudent man, he's going along his path. He has to make a decision. What words shall I say? And basically there's two paths, the path of wisdom, the path of folly, and at the end there are consequences. So even like with the others that we've looked at in Proverbs, there are consequences to the sins of our tongue. Let's go through some. One of the consequences is that the sins of our tongue can hurt our neighbor. Proverbs 25:18 says, a man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a war club or a sword or a sharp arrow. Think about that for a minute. The proverb is likening a false witness to a club, a sword, and a sharp arrow. These are weapons, right? They're weapons that are used to inflict pain and hurt. Now, you would never think to pick up a club and strike your neighbor. I would hope not. Or to shoot an arrow at them. But bearing false witness can result in pain and injury. We can hurt our neighbor with our word. It may not be the outward physical pain of a cut or a broken arm or a bloodied head, but we can cause still permanent, lasting wounds because we damage or defame their character. We destroy their name. We can hurt them. It can be just as permanent and just as lasting as being struck again by a club or being pierced by an arrow. Proverbs 14:25 says, a truthful witness can save lives. When we're called to be a witness, it may happen someday. It may mean the difference between life and death. The words we speak, the truth we speak can save the life of an innocent. Bridges says, he that can by his testimony clear one that is accused is obliged by this law to do it. If you have the ability to clear someone's name, you have an obligation to do that. We need to give that testimony. But the one that brings out lies, he's deceitful. His intention is to deceive. When faced with speaking words as a witness, we must speak the truth. If we lie, we can bring hurt or worse. Consequences. All right. Let me get to this next one. Okay. Proverbs 18:8, also in Proverbs 26:22. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. Do we have an appetite for gossip? We're here told about the whisperer. His words are like delicious morsels. Little tidbits, little details about the neighbor. And when we hear them, we seek them out. And when we hear them in those little morsels, do we gobble them up? I love the gossip. The reason I took a deep breath is this, is thinking about how to deal with this one. In our culture today, I'm going to read this because I want to be careful with what I say here. In our culture today, we should question whether this proverb would have an application to the use of Facebook or other social media. Now, I know there's many legitimate reasons for the use of Facebook. Okay, we share information and we follow our friends and family. However, we should ask ourselves the question, why do I follow a particular person on Facebook? Do I have a legitimate, God-honoring reason to follow that person on Facebook? To see the information being posted about their life? Or perhaps, just perhaps, maybe I'm just being nosy. I think it's called creeping. Am I right? And then, when I take that information that's being posted, then do I take that information, and then do I go over to someone else and spread it? Hey, did you see what's posted on Facebook? Well, did you know that? Huh? Okay, just asking the question. Why are we spreading it? Is it for their good? Is it helping our neighbor? Or is it more like just this delicious little morsel I just want to consume and gobble up? And then I enjoyed it so much I want to share it. Just be careful and consider this. That's all I'm saying. And also, just as a side point, to those that post on Facebook, beware. Realize what you're posting is going out to all those that have access. So consider that as well. So just aside. So the words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. But when I looked at the commentaries, a lot of them were looking at the King James Version. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. And they go down into the innermost body. Instead of the word whisperer, they use the word talebearer. And instead of the word tasty morsels, they describe it as it's as wounds. Matthew Henry comments, "Tale bearers are those who secretly carry stories from house to house, which perhaps have some truth in them, but are secrets not fit to be told, or they are baselessly misrepresented and false colors put upon them, and are all told with the design to blast men's reputation, or to break friendships, or to make mischief between relations and neighbors, and set them at variance." The talebearer. Those words of the talebearer, as they're being told, can have deep internal impact on others. Now, some people might say, "Oh, I'm just sharing this because I want to prevent sin. I have a concern for my neighbor because I want you to know about their failing or their fault or their problem so you can pray for them." Now, maybe that's true, and we should pray for one another, but we need to be careful here that it's not more of just, "I just like to talk." Or maybe worse, there's a little bit of selfishness there that we want and enjoy spreading information about our neighbor's faults or failings because it might make us feel better. We need to resist the temptation to speak endlessly of the faults of others. Bridges says, "These sinful words can be like a subtle poison going deep into the body. The consequence can cause suspicion, distrust, coldness, and often damage or destroy the name or character of our neighbor." Another consequence. Proverbs 26, 18 and 19. "Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, 'I'm only joking.'" Deceit, fraud, and falsehood have the potential to injure and damage, just as someone that's throwing firebrands can cause a fire, just as someone shooting arrows can wound or injure someone. The deceiver might find it funny. The recipient, however, may be hurt. "By lying and slandering in jest, men learn themselves," this is Bridges, "men learn themselves and teach others to lie and slander in earnest." There can be a progression. "And a false report raises a joke may be spread in malice." So I just raise this to caution us that we should be careful with our speech. It's a serious matter. It's not something we should be joking about. Another consequence. Sins of the tongue can damage relationships. Proverbs 16:28. "A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer can separate close friends. For lack of wood, the fire will go out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases." Dishonest words, like lies, spread strife. They stir up controversy. Here, the dishonest man, he makes it his business to sow strife, perhaps by telling lies or sharing ill-natured stories about friends or others. For the purpose of, sometimes it's just to separate them, to make them angry or suspicious of one another. You know, if there's a controversy between friends and you're aware of it, and it seems like it's getting solved, we don't need to be throwing wood on that fire and stirring it up. Say, "Hey, what's the latest? Wait, oh, over here, up, back and forth." If we're just whispering back and forth and back and forth, you can just be throwing, it's like throwing wood on a fire, and it starts to cause the flames to rise again and the quarrel to begin again. And it can end up separating even the closest of friends and causing permanent damage to that relationship. Another consequence. Lying can betrays trust. Proverbs 11:13 says, "Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered." You ever told a secret? If we're told a secret, we should keep it. Sometimes our friends might share something with us. They share it because maybe they want your counsel. Maybe they want your advice. Maybe they just simply want to share a joy. Or maybe it's a sorrow or a struggle. Maybe they're looking for you to pray for them. But it's just shared with you. It's not intended to be published and spread. We should keep it. We should keep it. If we reveal the matter, it might harm them, particularly if it's a struggle or a sin that they're wrestling with, and they've shared it with us in confidence. We also have to ask a question, why am I sharing this? Why am I going about telling everybody? What's the purpose? Maybe I feel good about the fact, hey, so-and-so told me this, hey, I'm important. Or maybe it's just that it makes us feel better because we say, hey, you wouldn't believe the problems he's got. Wow. So therefore, I feel better about myself. But the consequence is that at the end, that friend, you lose their trust. If I find out you're telling my secrets, I'm not going to tell you them again. I'm not going to share these things with you. I just want to, there is a qualification, and you know, at times we have to remember there's sometimes qualifications here. I will not share things if they are told to us in secret, except when the honor of God or the interest of society require me to tell the secret. If I know somebody is going to do something that is going to create harm to society, and they tell it to me in secret, I think there is a point where we have an obligation to then do something about that. So, you know, somebody's, I think you understand the point. Okay? But I thought that was something good that Mr. Bridges noted. Okay. Consequence, betraying trust. It can result in ruin. Proverbs 26:28, a lying tongue hates its victims. A victim. Think about that. And a flattering mouth works ruin. Okay, again, we have a connection between the lying tongue and victims and a flattering mouth working ruin. Flattery really does no good. At the end of the day, it can result in ruin. Now here we see a lying tongue. Oftentimes it's open, it's obvious, it's clear. We see that what its intent is. But be careful with the flattering tongue. That flattering tongue oftentimes is working in secret to cause ruin. And the ruin is not suspected. So the praises and the compliments of the flatterer can lead to pride in the recipient. Again, consequence can be ruin. We might think we're better than we really are, and then we end up falling at some point. Okay, another. Understand this. Lies do not last. Okay? Proverbs 12:19, the lip of truth shall last forever. But a lying tongue is but for a moment. I hope we realize truth stands the test of time. Truth remains constant. Lying lips, even if it suits our purposes as an easy escape from difficulty, is but for a moment. Oftentimes that momentary escape from trouble is followed by shame, confusion, or increased difficulty. After we say something, we might end up starting to worry. Okay, wait, what's the story I said? Oh, I forget. Wait, did I say, what were the facts? We have to be able to remember the facts and maintain the lie if we're questioned again. We also have to worry if there's other facts that come up that are not consistent with what we said. Now, okay, now what am I going to say? And so in the end, there's this anguish and there's this trouble and we're concerned. And we get stressed out over it. At the end, it's but for a moment. And remember that even if the lie escapes detection for our whole life, it will not escape eternity. There's a judgment day, and we're going to have to give an account. And our lies will be revealed before God on the judgment day. Which brings us to the other consequence. Punishment. Proverbs 19:5. A false witness shall not go unpunished, and he that speaks lies shall not escape. A false witness shall not go unpunished, and he that speaks lies shall perish. A progression. You're not going to escape. There will be punishment. And that punishment will be that you will perish. The liar will be punished sooner or later. He might escape detection, but there will be a day. Don't take lying lightly. Don't take this lightly. God is clear. The liar, the false witness, shall suffer punishment. Revelation 21:8 says, "But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." In that list of sins, the sin of lying, the liar is included. There will be punishment. So, in our last few minutes, we've got to move through this pretty quickly, but I think, as you may remember, well, we have to make a decision. What do I say? Well, we need to apply God's Word. So, first and foremost, remember, lying is sin. Simple. Yep. When you're faced with the issue of speaking the truth or lies, lying is sin. Exodus 20, verse 16, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Bearing false witness, lying, it's contrary to God's, it's disobedience to God's law, to the ninth commandment. Every willful deviation from strict accuracy bears the stamp of lying lips." Okay? This includes outward expressions of deceit. Lying lips in its forms, falsehood, truth misrepresented or concealed, exaggerations, wrong impressions, all these are sins. Even the subtle sins, slander, gossip, talebearing, these are against God's command. We are to be accurate and faithful in telling the truth. But I just want to make this point. We're not always obligated to tell the whole truth. Okay? Just remember that. At times it's better just to be silent than to lie. And at the end, who's able to keep God's law perfectly? I mean, I fail. I mean, I just look back as I'm going through this. I'm saying, wow, convicting. I mean, I've been studying this for weeks to think about how I'm going through this. I hope it's maybe having a little bit of an effect on you. But, you know, we all fail. We are all sinners. That's why we need Christ. We need the forgiveness and righteousness that alone we can have in Christ. When we lie, we need to repent. Lying, when we have that decision to make, remember, we are to love our neighbor. In Leviticus chapter 19, there's a whole list of things that you shall not do. Shall not. You shall not. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people. That's one of the things you shall not do. And at the end, the thing that we shall do is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? Slander is injurious to our neighbor's name. It hurts them. When we have to make that decision, I suggest we ask ourselves the question, would we want them to say that about us? Love your neighbor as yourself. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Before we speak, ask that question. Slander hurts, can cause deep wounds. We should be careful with our words. Then, as we saw on the screen, if you were here at the beginning, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19. There are six things that the Lord hates. Seven are an abomination to Him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. As we look at this list of six, I see three that deal with sins of the tongue. God hates a lying tongue. God hates a false witness. God hates those who sow discord. It's an abomination to Him. Therefore, if we understand that, as we come to making that decision, and we know God hates that, how should we act? Well, I hope that our love for God and desire to please Him would motivate us to speak the truth. I hope our response is similar to trying to be as God. I would hope that we say Proverbs 13:5, the righteous hates falsehood. I would hope our reaction is that we hate falsehood. I hope Proverbs 30, verse 8, remove far from me falsehood and lies. I want to get away from it. I don't want to be associated with it. I don't want to participate in it. Proverbs 20:19. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secret. Therefore, do not associate with the simple babbler. Don't associate. Don't participate. Don't participate in the gossip. Well, as we close, we need to remember that we need to love the truth. We need to speak the truth. We should hate lies. We should avoid lying, deceit, bearing false witness, slander, whispering, flattery. And in the end, may God help us to be wise with the use of our words. Let's close our time. Our dear God and Father, we bow before You, and Lord, who is able for these things? We see Your commands. We know Your holiness and Your purity. We know that You are a God of truth, and we see our sin. Lord, we confess that we are sinners, and we thank You for Christ, and we thank You for His blood and His righteousness that cleanses us from our sins, and we pray that You would help us to keep close accounts, that we would be careful with our words, that we would seek to speak the truth. Father, we pray that You would forgive us for our sins and help us to repent and to change where change is needed. We pray, Father, that You would now be with us this day and help us as we continue our worship of You. And we thank You in Christ's name. Amen.